Welcome to the Cannabis Therapy Podcast. I'm your host, Earl Carruthers, and I have been a serial cannapreneur in the growing, processing, and retail space for over 8 years. And we are here to learn together to get a well-balanced understanding of cannabis and cannabis products. Tune in every week for quality cannabis education for your canna inspiration. Hello, hello. What up, dope? Should be live. Coming up, I'll let the little stream things happen. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Cannabis Therapy Podcast Show. And what up, dope? I am Earl, your host. We are live. If you're out there, this is live Q&A, live podcast. We're going to talk about, is we good for you today on this topic? If you're out there, say hello to me. I got Oliver out there, says I'm here. I appreciate that. Willie Oliver, appreciate that love. We are live on a Cannabis Therapy Podcast Show. The purpose of this show is to talk about cannabis products from a well-balanced point of view so that we can all have a well-balanced understanding about cannabis and cannabis products from a therapeutic point of view as well. This is the Cannabis Podcast Show. Yes, it is. We do a new show every single week for your canna inspiration. What up, though? Stevenson. Sup, fam? Appreciate you tuning in. Much love. Much love. Show you some love out there on the screen. Bam! I love the image. Love the image. Love the image. Yes, this is a Cannabis Podcast Show. We're going to be talking about, is weed good for you? And this is another episode where we had to keep it moving. We had a special guest. This is some behind-the-scenes things here. We are on a strive of having a business. We are starting a business here and we are building a brand. We are on a goal of trying to be legit as possible. And, you know, sometimes you gotta, you know, when you're trying to do something, there's always some resistance. And we're trying to do this podcast, we're trying to be consistent with it. We're trying to bring on guests now. And man, this is the second time our guests had to reschedule on us, and we're going to keep it moving. We actually got a lot of positive reviews last week. When we did the show, it was just me. I'm trying to bring on other guests, but I kind of get into a groove when it's by myself. So today, again, you got me by myself, and we're going to be talking about, is weed good for you? And I want your interaction and engagement as well as we talk through this topic. Let me know your questions. Let me know your answers. I am live from the Craft Cannabis Club. It is a private club in downtown Detroit for like-minded individuals can come together, share, connect, and engage, educate each other, and move forward in this industry with like-minded individuals. A place where you can feel comfortable. Sometimes you feel comfortable with when you're talking about cannabis. Here, we want to be mature, want to be comfortable. That's what the club's about. And also about restoring cannabis as therapy. That's this whole movement, Cannabis Therapy Network, here at the Craft Cannabis Club, Cannabis Therapy Podcast, Tickety. Everything is about restoring cannabis as therapy. Not necessarily medicinal, not necessarily adult use, but more using it as a therapeutic point of view, which ties into it today. Let me put up my slides. I'm going to get to it. I know you guys don't want to just hear me ramble a couple times, but we're going to get into, is weed good for you, the health behind the plant? Is it really good for you? Is it something that can harm you? You hear a lot of things in the news about how weed's bad for you. Of course, the reefer madness. You hear people talking about the stoners, you know, you got the stoner stigma that if you're smoking, you're lazy, you're not doing things. Let me know. What do you think? Have you guys had these conversations before about weed being good for you or not good for you? And maybe you had a conversation with some of your friends and you kind of had that debate about, oh man, I don't smoke weed. That's for certain type of people. Let me know if you had that kind of conversation. Some of the conversations I've had, I mean, I grew up with the understanding, I thought if I smoked weed that I would rape white people. Yes, believe that or not. I was taught. This is the war on drugs, the Nancy Reagan type thing, DARE program. I mean, of course, you know, you're watching, I played a lot of sports in school and I didn't want any kind of drug to really deter me from my performance in sports. I played football, basketball, and then I also played basketball. I say basketball, track as well. Football, basketball, track. So I didn't want weed to be something that would mess up my ability to perform. And I remember as a young kid, my dad showed me the movie Earl the Goat. Of course, my name is Earl. So the movie really, and Earl the Goat was a short basketball player. He was like 5'7". Now a short point guard as well. And he can take a ball, he could dribble it, and he could dunk. And not even that, they did one episode, part of this movie, one scene, where they put a quarter on top of the backboard, and he has such big hops. I believe he was from Harlem. Earl the Goat. He can jump up, grab the quarter from the top of the basketball backboard. Yes, and he's only like 5'7", like a Muggsy Bogues. So that really, really, you know, inspired me. And then during this movie, he ended up losing his scholarship, did not really maximize his potential because he got hooked on drugs. And at that time, I associated marijuana as like this drug that would pretty much convert me into a scenario where I would not be able to realize my full potential. No, come to find out that drug was heroin that he was doing. Big difference, huge difference between what you're consuming. However, that stigma to me is what made me feel like weed was not good for you. And I kind of stood away from weed really until after college. It wasn't until around 2011, 12 that I actually consumed. So yeah, I was in my 20s at that point. So let me know, when was the earliest time that you consumed? Curious. In the comments, if you're out there, let me know, even if you're watching this live or you're catching this pre-recorded. I'm curious, when was the first time that you actually consumed? And if you had an idea if weed was bad for you, you consumed, then you realize it's not as bad as they say it is. Let me know. I have friends who said they consumed as early as 8, 9, 10 years old. I'm not condoning that, but I'm curious, what age did you start? What was the first time you actually consumed cannabis? So is weed good for you? It's a debate, especially when it comes to politics. You hear the scenario, there's not enough studies and things like that. So we're going to get into some history about cannabis. And that's what we're going to kind of go right now, is we're going to kind of get into the medicinal history about cannabis. So here's one fact here. The National Institute of Health reported that using cannabis to treat ailments has going back to at least 3,000 years ago. At least 3,000 years ago. Now, I got some fun facts on top of this. One, for those who follow the Crown fans, Queen Victoria used marijuana for PMS cramps back in 1890. So 1890, this is a number, 1890, for the earliest uses recorded for medicinal value of cannabis. So the National Institute of Health talked about there's been medicinal recordings over 3,000 years ago. Queen Victoria using it for PMS cramps. Yes, that time of the month. My lady smokes weed almost every day, so I can't tell you if it's helping her on that time of the month. She just smokes every day of the month, so which is good. I believe it does help balance out hormones, helps people chill out, helps avoid a lot of fights, helps a lot of people chill out. So I got some other fun facts. Did you know? We're talking about the medicinal history of cannabis. So 2737 BC, 2737, yes, is the earliest record of cannabis as a medicinal drug. At this time, Emperor Shennug, excuse my names here, Shennug, S-H-E-N-N-U-G, yes, Google it, recognized the treatment of properties of over 100 ailments such as gout and malaria. Yes, this was over 4,000 years ago. It was recorded by the emperor of cannabis having medicinal value. Fast forward today, we're still having conversations about cannabis, marijuana, still being a Schedule I drug, which means it has no medicinal value. Yes, ironically, for 4,000 years ago, medicinal value was already recognized by emperor. Another time, we have 1798, Napoleon brought cannabis back from France, from Egypt, and was investigating its pain-relieving and sedative qualities. Yes, and at this time, cannabis would be used to treat tumors, coughs, and gout as well. So 1798, cannabis was used medicinally. Again, fast forward today, we always talk about, we need more research. It's still a Schedule I drug. It is still there as saying it has no medicinal value. We need to study more. Now, 1798, this was already out there. Another date, 1839. There was a Irish doctor named William. Irish. Hey, we just got Irish, St. Patrick's Day, Irish. So he introduced the therapeutic uses of cannabis to Western medicine. He concluded that there's no negative medicinal effects and that the plant use is pharmaceutically, it should be used as a pharmaceutical context would rapidly rise thereafter. So he thought that it should be a it should be used in pharmacies back in 1839, and then it has no negative medicinal value. This is 1839 by an Irish doctor. Again, fast forward today, we're talking about, is weed good for you? I know we talk about medicinal value. Right now, it's still Schedule 1. It says it has no medicinal value. Of course, a lot of states have come on with the Medical Marijuana Acts claiming it has medicinal value. How a state can claim it has medicinal value, but then still be federally as a Schedule 1 drug, treating it as it does nuclear weapons, I don't know. But, well, I do know. It's a lot of corruption there. So, nevertheless, let's keep moving forward. 1894, the Indian Hemp Drugs Commission. We're talking about, is weed good for you? And we're talking about the history of the medicinal value, the medicinal history of weed. 1894. Yep. 1894, the Indian Hemp Drugs Commission. You can Google Indian Hemp Drugs Commission. Google this. There's a report by this commission produced. It was over 3,000 pages. So 3,281 pages long. This testimony for almost 1,200 different doctors. So we have over a 3,000-page report for over 1,200 different doctors that summarize briefly the conclusions. This is what they came to. It has been clearly established that the occasional use of hemp cannabis in moderate doses may be beneficial, but this use may be regarded as medicinal in character. So again, the occasional use of hemp cannabis in moderate doses may be beneficial, but this use may be regarded as medicinal in character. 1894, the Indian Hemp Drugs Commission. Fast forward today, again, does weed have medicinal value? We're still arguing. We're still talking about this. This is not nothing new underneath the sun. This is going back years, over 4,000 years. This is just a key. This is just a couple dates. Another one, 1900. Medical cannabis was used to treat nausea and labor pain. And at this point, it was available over the counter in medications such as Piso's Cure and One Day Cough Cures. And that was in the US in 1900s. In the 1900s, yes, just recently. This is what, 2021? 121 years ago. 121 years ago, this was available. Cannabis was available over the counter. Yes. And today, we're still coming up with these rules and regulations on how to regulate this harmless plant right now. So this is a little quick history of the medicinal value of cannabis. And when we say cannabis, I know I said hemp and cannabis a couple of times. I want to talk about these two different species as well. We have hemp and we have marijuana. And let's kind of define that. I get a lot of questions of, well, what's the difference between hemp and marijuana? And I will give you my definition. And we can go off of some of these slides right here as well. Hemp right now is an arbitrary number that the government pulled out of thin air that anything that has 0.3% or less THC, less than 3% THC, is considered hemp. Anything higher than that is marijuana. Same plant. It's just defined legally by a percentage of THC. That's it. Hemp looks like marijuana. Marijuana looks like hemp. They both have medicinal values depending on how you grow them and how you cultivate them and how you use them and how you extract them. And of course, THC is one of many different, and we're going to get into that, different cannabinoids that's found in cannabis. But at the time, THC was this, reefer madness, gateway drug. THC was what caused so much psychoactive effects. So the government decided to regulate the THC component with the understanding now that it's a lot more than just THC to give us that alteration in our mindsets. There's 100 different cannabinoids, 100 different flavonoids, 100 different terpenes. All that together, it works together as like a symphony. But THC is what separates what's hemp versus what's marijuana. So I get that question a lot. What is the difference between hemp and marijuana? What is the difference between hemp and marijuana? It's an arbitrary number just picked out. You know, why not 5%? Why not 8% THC? You know, why not 9% THC? 3%? Why not 2%? It was just a number that came up that made people feel satisfied that if you did not have more than 3% THC, you wouldn't go crazy and rape people. But of course, that's all just myths. And we're still trying to undo one of the greatest lies ever told. since the 1900s. So over 4,000 years of history, this plant was known as being good for you. And now we're still asking, over 4,000 years later, this question of this topic, is weed good for you? Again, if you, I want you, don't, this is an open conversation. You don't even agree. If you think weed is bad for you, if you're a prohibitionist and you think that, you know what, if you smoke weed, you guys are out here, get the devil's lettuce, let me know. Open conversation. I'm not tripping. Have this conversation. I would love to talk. Where's your facts? Where's your evidence? Let's have an open conversation. All good. All right. We're going to move on to the next point here. Next point here, Jen. I got Jen behind the scenes. Anybody out there say what's up to Jen? She's helping me with some of these questions as we go. One of the questions that came in was, when consuming weed, how does the system interact directly? So when consuming weed, how does it work? How, if weed is good for you, which we're talking, I guess you can kind of understand my point of view here. I'm already telling you the answer is yes. Spoiler alert. However, we don't know why, and we don't know how and what makes it beneficial. And we're also going to talk about what can make it harmful for you as well. I don't want this to be one-sided. Are there negative effects? And if you experience negative effects, let's not all talk about weed as is going to make your leg grow back, but let's also not talk about how it's going to make you go jump off a bridge and have some reefer madness stuff as well. Let's have a balanced understanding about it. So how does it work? So we have what is called this endocannabinoid system, okay, which is really defined as like the 12th system in the body. System, what do you mean system, Earl? Well, remember back in like high school, maybe middle school, we talked about maybe even elementary now. You probably learned this in kindergarten now. The 11 different systems in the body. You have your nervous system. You have your respiratory system, how we breathe. Your cardiovascular system. Your skeletal system. Man, I'm on a roll here. Can I get all 11? You have your endocrine system. You have your digestive system. Your immune system. Yeah, all these systems, there's 11 of them. All these systems that we've been known to identify in our body, well, there's another system that was just discovered, which is our endocannabinoid system. We have this ability to actually produce inside of our body cannabinoids. And these cannabinoids are there to help regulate our system, our system between systems, almost like a thermostat. It helps regulate the temperature in a room. We're going to get to that. But how it works, we have these receptors. These on our skin, we have these CB1, CB2 receptors on our body. And that's how, like, if you put on a topical, they're on our skin. It's also inside of our body. If you put on a topical, that's how we can actually ingest. Is that the right word? We can ingest, we can consume the cannabis. That's how a topical can work, because there's actually receptacles on our skin where the cannabinoids, outside cannabinoids, we call them photocannabinoids if it comes from a plant. Endocannabinoids come within your body. Endogenous cannabinoids, they're foreign cannabinoids coming from outside substance. If it's from a plant, it's photocannabinoids, plant photo. Okay. So photocannabinoids can fit with our body because of these receptors, and the two receptors we know of right now, there could be more, but CB1, CB2, they're like little, you could say locks. And then the cannabinoids are the keys, and they kind of fit like lock and key in our body. And that's how it actually works in our body. So cannabis fits the cannabinoids that's found within the cannabis plant. The cannabinoids, the terpenes, the flavonoids, all those fit within our body because we have a system that's there to connect it. That's able to, like a lock and key. The cannabinoids from a plant connects with the receptors in our body, and that's how it can help regulate and bring up our endocannabinoid system. And you can come, actually, you know, this is a legitimate statement. You could be deficient in cannabinoids. You'd be like, man, why you smoke so much weed? Well, I'm deficient in my cannabinoids. Now, sometimes people go tanning and be like, I'm deficient in my vitamin D. They need the sun or whatnot. Or you could be, we use different supplements to supplement things that we are deficient in. It could be nutrients. Sometimes we take multivitamins or different supplements to supplement things that we are deficient in. If you're deficient in vitamin C, if you're getting that from a natural substance such as oranges or whatnot, or you could take supplemental pills. Same thing with cannabis. It actually can help bring up and neutralize that deficiency. And that's how we start to feel better. So you ask, how does it work? You know, it's not, you know, how do you get high per se? How does it work? It's actually a scientific reason how cannabis works within our body. And part of that reason is because we have receptors that connect with our endocannabinoid system. I know if that makes sense. I want to make sure that that is clear. Again, this is totally interactive. If you got questions, please let me know, and we can go through that as well. All right. So we're talking about how does it work when we consume. And now let's talk about what is the main goal of the endocannabinoid system. As you can see in this image here, the main goal right now, I could say if in a very simple way, you can read all this stuff we have here. The main thing is to bring balance to the body. We talked about a thermostat before this. We talked about a thermostat. You know how, say you have that thermostat where it's not just heat, not just cool, but it's on auto. That thermostat that can cut on to air condition if it gets too hot. Okay, if it gets, the temperature rises so much, what happens? The AC comes on. If the temperature lowers below a certain temperature, what happens? You're right. You guessed it. The heat comes on. So that thermostat is to regulate the balance, the temperature within that room. The endocannabinoid system is as equivalent to a thermostat is to a room. It's there to bring balance. Because sometimes, for example, with Crohn's, there is an imbalance between your immune system and your nervous system. And also your digestive system. They're kind of fighting each other. So cannabis helps kind of bring peace. Like, hey, Mr. Digestive System, chill out. Hey, Mr. Nervous System and Mrs. Immune System. Let's all kind of get along. Let's have a conversation. Let's reason together. Cannabis kind of just brings balance to all that. So there's actually a scientific reason as to why we're saying this has medicinal value and not just claiming it just so that we have a, you know, a smoke screen of why I can go smoke weed. I got this medical card and I need like a sympathy. No, there's actually a scientific proven reason why cannabis helps people. This is a legitimate conversation. It's not like folklore. So that's how it works. And that's kind of, you know, the question is that came in was what is the main goal of the endocannabinoid system? And the quick answer again is that is to help bring balance. All right. Let's talk about some of the benefits of cannabis. One of the questions that came in for the show is health-wise, what benefits can we actually feel from this interaction? And I'd be curious when, if you're here right now in your life, what is it that you smoke for? What do you intend to do? Is it, you know, for sleep? Is it for pain? Is it for nausea? I'm curious, what is it that you consume for? And we're going to talk about some reasons right now, some of the popular reasons from a medicinal point of view, why people consume. So one of the reasons right now, the top reasons, if you look at the state, from state to state, maybe you look at all the medical cards. And when you get a medical card in the state of Michigan, you got to go to a doctor and you got to have meet one of the qualifying conditions. And whatever the conditions are, they're always growing from state to state. But you start off maybe with 10, 15. Regardless of what state you're in, the highest qualifying condition is pain relief. More than 80% of the conditions that people go get a medical card for is pain relief, whether it's chronic pain or from a knee, back, past surgery, whatever it is, it's back. I said back already. So yeah, pain relief is the number one reason why people are using cannabis for medicinal reasons. The next one is mental health and anxiety. I think this is key because a lot of anxiety. I believe that our emotions follow our thoughts. Okay. As a man thinks, so is he. So as a man thinketh, there's a great book, As a Man Thinketh. So if you're thinking certain things, you feel a certain way. And that's, I believe, a lot of times we're getting anxious because we're thinking that something's about to happen. For example, you watch a movie, watch a scary movie. You know, it's nothing to be scared about. You watch a movie, but in your mind, you think that person's right there. Something's about to happen. Your heart's racing. It's not reality, but mentally, you're scared because you're seeing, you know, scary things. Therefore, you're scared. If you see something depressing, you want to cry in a sad movie because you're thinking, you know, depressing thoughts, and therefore you're depressed. So cannabis is right now helping to regulate some of our thoughts, helping us be able to think of things that are not as depressing, think of things that are that does not make us anxious. It kind of gets our mind off of those thoughts. So those are some of the studies right now as far as the benefits of consuming cannabis. Another question that comes in is what is the munchies? That's one thing. Does cannabis give you the munchies? A lot of people who say who have cancer, those who need to stimulate their appetite or they have a some kind of condition where they're not really getting hungry, cannabis has proven to give you the munchies and help you eat. I'm sure a lot of people out here have experienced that in the past. Another thing, as far as the benefits, health benefits of cannabis, will be anti-tumor effects. Rick Simpson, RSL, RSO, Rick Simpson Oil. If you Google Rick Simpson Oil, he has some tumors that he used the cannabis, Rick Simpson Oil, to help reduce tumors. Now, again, with cannabis, you can't really make any medical claims. You can say, maybe this worked for me. But when you get into the medical claims, that's when things kind of get gray. However, with the RSO, he applied that topically. And I mean, even with animals as well, they have a endocannabinoid system as well. That's why if you give them pet treats, things like that, it can help dogs chill out. I give my dog on a regular some type of CBD and even full extract THC treats as well. And he's cool. He'd be, no, I'm joking. He'd be chilling. But all right. So yeah. So we're talking about appetite, tumors, some more benefits as well. We talk about nausea, vomiting, and that's why, we talk about it helps people who are going through cancer, those who are going through certain treatments, especially with chemo. I know that's tough. My heart goes out to that. And a lot of times it creates nausea. It does certain things that make you throw up. And cannabis can help relieve that as well. Or even if, you just naturally nauseous from like motion sickness as well. Cannabis can help that. I remember I was actually on a trip. I was going on a boat thing, a boat scenario. What up, though? What up, though? Hello to you, too. I was going on a boat, and I got a little motion sickness. As waves were going back and forth. And believe it or not, cannabis actually helped me with my nausea for that. I had a little vape pen. And, they would tell you, go to a corner, look up, or don't close your eyes. Try to focus on something stable. What actually helped me out was actually puffing on a vape pen, and then I became less motion sickness as well. So, another thing, medicinally, talk about the health benefits of weed is glaucoma. That's on the list here in Michigan, I know for sure, as one of the reasons why you can get medical cannabis. So, all right, we'll be out here. Again, this is the Cannabis Therapy Podcast Show. If you're just not tuning in, we're talking about, is weed good for you? If you have any questions, please let me know. Answer any comments. Share your story, any quick thing about how weed has helped you as well, or even something negative. Even if you don't think weed is good for you and you think I'm out here trying to ruin the world, let me know. It's all good. I like to have these conversations. But all right, nevertheless, what are some of the examples of health effects that are still being studied? So one of the, this question came in. One of the examples would be multiple sclerosis. I think I said that right. Epilepsy as well, migraines, irritable bowel syndrome. These things are still being studied as to how cannabis can help. And honestly, I have a friend whose significant other has epilepsy, and she came to me wanting to kind of weed off of some of her pills because the way that makes her feel, jitter, doesn't really feel herself. And she, you hear things about CBD and things like that, and you heard about Charlotte's Web that became popular. That young girl who had epilepsy, she helped with a lot of her seizures based upon using a cannabis tincture. Well, the thing is, it's like, you want to help them, but at the same time, you don't want them to actually start consuming cannabis, get off their meds, and then something bad happens. Like, you don't want that on your heart. You don't want that on your conscience, which is one of the reasons actually where you see, tickety for that. And like, even my mom, we talked about mental health earlier. My mom has been diagnosed with schizophrenia, bipolar, and mental health actually runs throughout my family. And which is part of the reason I actually wake up in the morning. I like to have my alone time and just be really just read scripture to just kind of renew my mind and bring peace. And however, cannabis as well helps me mellow out as well. And getting them to, whether it's my friend's partner or whether my mother, to get them to consume cannabis, I felt like there needed to be a way. Like, why are we starting from ground zero? Like, why is it like, all right, you want to use cannabis to help treat a mental illness or use cannabis to help treat epilepsy? Why is it that we have to kind of guess at this? Why not can't people who actually do this already have a routine? For example, if I'm working out and someone wants to know, Earl, what do you do to stay in shape? I have a routine, week to week, month to month. I can share that with you. You can start off with that and then tweak it as you go to what works for you. Maybe you won't do legs as much or chest and shoulders that day, or maybe do a little bit more cardio. Nevertheless, I'm at least giving you a plan that has been found to be effective for me. And that's what with Tiggity, I want us to kind of be able to start journaling how you're using cannabis to treat your certain conditions. whether it is something like epilepsy, or it's a mental illness, or whether it's anxiety, or whether it is sleep, kind of coming up with like, what are you doing throughout the day when you first wake up? Are you, you know, is it half of a joint, a cup of joint? What kind are you using? What way are you using it? Is it, are you smoking it? Are you vaping it? Are you using tincture? How much are you using? And just kind of journaling this so that we can kind of share these experiences so people don't have to start from scratch. And when we do that, the more people that are using it medicinally or therapeutically, we can help end this whole stigma, because now it becomes not like, you know, I'm smoking just because, you know, I'm just trying to find a reason just to be cool or something. That's not it. I mean, you're legitimately using it for a health benefit. Because why? Because weed's good for you. Good for what? Well, we're talking medicinal reasons. We're also talking about therapeutic reasons right now. So, that's what Tiggity, and again, the website actually, it's not even meant to be a plug for this, but whatsthetiggity.com, whatsthetiggity.com is actually, Jen, if you could put that in the comments, I know some people probably, whatsthetiggity.com. You can go there, you can start journaling how cannabis affects you, but the goal is to get this archive of people journaling how cannabis affects them so we can share this routine amongst people. And then when someone's trying to introduce their mother or their friend's wife to cannabis, we can also say, you know what, this worked for this person, this worked for this person. Of course, everyone's different, just like working out, but you have somewhere to start. You have a baseline that you can go off of. You're not just kind of guessing at this. You kind of, all right, this is 2-3 people tried this. Let me start here, maybe half of that dose, and maybe that'll work. So yeah, so as we are talking about things that are still being studied, there are a lot of different conditions, but why do we have to leave it up to, you know, the great pharmaceutical company to come from the white sky on this horse? Like, oh, this is what you get. No, we can start. I mean, we all smoke every damn day. What are you using it for? How much are you smoking it? Start journaling and sharing it with people. Like, we can be a big ass human study, our own self. We don't have to wait for the government to come around and be like, yo, you know, we got to do more studies. Start it ourselves organically, and start journaling how cannabis is affecting us so that we can actually, you know, help each other out. So it's, the question is, what address? It's whatsthetiggity.com. Whatsthetiggity.com. WATHS, the Tiggity, TIGGITY, Tiggity.com. Jen, if you could put that in the comments for us, that would be cool. I actually typed this one in right here. whatsthetiggity.com. All right, cool. You can just copy and paste that right there. So, yeah, the goal is to make this an app as well so people can do this on their phone. But right now, the website is mobile friendly. But yeah, I'll create this big algorithm and kind of go from there. So, all right. Train of thought. All right, what other things are we studying? Cool, that was that. All right, any risks? All right, yes. I didn't want to have this conversation be one-sided, just talking about how weed is so good for you, how weed is just so good for you, and you know, there's nothing ever bad about it. And again, I want to talk about any kind of risk that is associated, and what are some of the side effects of consuming weed. I mean, right now you talk about things such as, you know, red eyes, obviously that's a telltale. I don't know if that's has anyone got hurt from having red eyes? Has it blocked your vision? But I mean, that's a side effect though, whether that's good or bad or a risk, you know, that's kind of to your own. Another thing would be, the side effects we're talking about compared to prescription drugs, of course, is minimal. And you watch some of these commercials, the guy walking around with a lawnmower, just smiling like, you know, I'm taking this mood depressing drug that helps me uplift, but you know, your knee could fall off. You could get an erectile scenario. Your left eye could start twitching. Your boss can move to your elbow. I mean, whatever. It's just some weird stuff. A lot more things that can happen with prescription drugs. But we can't be talking about what? Dry eyes or red eyes. We're talking about maybe cotton mouth. You know, I know a lot. That's why a lot of people at some of these cannabis events who are selling lemonade, man, they definitely sell lemonade. It helps out some of that cotton mouth. The other thing we're talking about, the munchies. You know, which is ironic about the munchies, as it being a risk, there's also was a study, I believe it was in Leaflight. If you Google, you know, do people who consume actually gain weight? People who consume cannabis actually are less obese. Like, it doesn't, you would think, if you're consuming cannabis, it's more obese people because maybe you're just eating more candy. You know, I know every time I go somewhere in my attorney's office, they got candy everywhere. Hopefully I didn't just snitch on my attorney for consuming. Well, no, it's okay. He's an attorney, you consume. It's all good. All right. So, yeah, I mean, everybody's got candy. I know staff here, they got candy for days around here. I was eating it. But it's crazy enough, people who consume, they say are actually less obese. So what does that mean? I mean, is it because you may be consuming, but maybe you're more active? Maybe you're more in the mood to exercise. I know I exercise pretty much every day, and I consume on a regular basis. I'll say every day I consume. Maybe not all the time before exercise, but I do at some point, definitely at night, just kind of unwind and chill for me. During the day, I don't really consume too much unless, you know, someone just passed me something. But at nighttime, it's more of my evening thing. But yeah, that's so when you say the munchies, you do get the munchies, but is that a risk? Maybe you start munching on carrots if you just had carrots next to you and didn't have candy. I don't know, maybe some broccoli. Maybe you start eating more of your vegetables. Who knows? Paranoia is a side effect, is something that is a risk. And that's more of a risk, not because of you consume cannabis. I believe that's more because you overconsume cannabis. There's a point to where there's so much cannabis, so much of the cannabinoids, THC, terpenes, so much. It's like a bell curve. So much. When you pass, and everybody has a different spot, I'm going up. So when you pass that point, you get unwanted effects. There's the cotton mouth. There is the paranoia. There's so many stories. Maybe some of you may have been the main character of the story of overconsuming. And usually everybody has some story where they overconsume. Usually it's an edible. You had a piece of chocolate, or you had the brownie, or you had a gummy bear, didn't think too much of it, or you love gummy bears, so you just kept eating them. And then hour later, nothing. You ate some more, started smoking as well. Maybe had a cannabis drink. 2 hours later, and you are just comatose. All right. And it's not comfortable. And it could be, it's not funny at the time. Believe me, it's not funny. However, looking back at it, there's some good stories. You can be like, man. But during the time, it is uncomfortable. And also, it can give people a bad taste in their mouth and maybe not consume cannabis again. So, yeah, so those are some of the risks. But that's not because of cannabis itself. Again, that's more of you overconsuming, going past your therapeutic sweet spot. And usually, you know, once you're past, to me, I like to start between 3 to 5 milligrams if I'm having an edible of THC. Having that 3 to 5 milligrams, if it's higher in CBD, you can go 10 times that. So if it's 5 milligrams is good for THC for me, I can go 10 times that, 50 milligrams of CBD. Okay. As long as my THC is still below that 3% ratio. So like a 2-to-1, 2 grams of CBD to at least 1 gram of THC, I can go 50% of that more, just so you guys know, if you guys are doing CBD things. Nevertheless, so yeah, those are some of your risks. And yeah, some of the questions are, you know, what's some of the risks? And then the gateway scenario. You hear about the gateway, you know, risk of if you consume cannabis, therefore it's going to lead to other drugs. It's going to lead to you doing crack. I know a lot of times when it comes to the season, when things are going on the ballot for medicinal or adult use, a lot of cop organizations may come up, or even politics may come up, or anti, you know, cannabis. They come up and they say, you know, out of all the cases I've had, anybody in any drug cases, marijuana was there. You know, it was crack, it was heroin, it was weed. Or any heroin addict that I spoke to, they said they've always tried weed. So therefore, they concluded, well, since they started with weed and then they moved on to crack or heroin, weed was the reason why they moved on to that. But that's illogically flawed, because you could also say all of them drank breast milk. They all probably had regular milk. If you didn't have breast milk, you had regular milk. And therefore, milk caused you to go to crack. Milk caused you to go to heroin. It's not that. It's those people most likely were going to go to that route. Nevertheless, there's plenty of people who consume cannabis and do not use harder drugs. I know I personally have never tried crack, heroin, meth, any of that stuff. So it's not a gateway to that. It's more of those people who are already going to consume that no matter what. But you can't say it's because weed is a common element. It's like they all probably had a soda at some point too. You can say pop caused them to do this. So just because weed is involved doesn't mean it's a gateway to that. Or you can say if it's a gateway to that, well, a lot of our presidents have smoked, so I guess it's a gateway to become a president as well. Or maybe it's a gateway, I know a lot of working professionals, people with PhDs, maybe it's a gateway to getting in higher education. No pun intended. So nevertheless, it being a gateway drug, that's a flawed argument, because weed is involved in these scenarios doesn't mean it led you to that. However, those people were going to go there despite weed or not. It's that's what they're going to do. I know the gateway to being lazy. I mean, you're lazy before weed or after weed. You're just fucking lazy. It had nothing to do with weed. I smoke weed. I'm definitely not lazy. I'm very active. So therefore, you know, it may reveal you to yourself, or it doesn't, you know, make you do certain things that you not already are or do. Okay. So that gateway scenario to me, I think is flawed. All right. So what are the risks? Another question that came in, what are some of the risks when using weed that needs further research? Now, let's be legit. You know, smoking is smoking. Putting anything into your lungs is smoking. We don't know what the long-term effects of that. We know that smoking tobacco, that's proven to lead to cancer, and there's a lot of warnings about that in your throat. Does smoking cannabis hurt the health of your lungs? We don't know. I mean, smoking anything at the end of the day can't be that beneficial to your lungs. Let's just be real. So you maybe want to balance that out to where, you know, maybe you are, you know, using some edibles, or if you're smoking, I know, like using blunts in, you know, my culture, usually, you know, you're getting swishers, you're breaking them up, taking the tobacco out and putting the weed in it, or the, we call them backwoods as well. Those have that tobacco in it. Is there a long-term effect to those? Let's be real. Let's be honest. There could be, because there's still some tobacco residue left in there. What is that? We don't know. But if you do know that, then, you know, maybe try to balance that out to where maybe you vape a little bit of this vaporizer, meaning not just a cartridge, but there's a device called a Volcano, maybe north of $400 right now. Those Volcanoes, it's legitimately vaping, not just heating like in a vape pen, but you're legitimately vaping into a bag. And that's like the number one doctor recommended way to consume cannabis, because you're actually vaping it. You're not burning it, because when you burn it, there's a lot more carcinogens that happen. And that's usually when you pass a boiling point of 500 degrees. So when you're vaping, you're usually between 300 to 400 degrees. Believe it or not, when you're smoking like a blunt or a joint, that weed is hot. That tip, that red tip, can get up to 800, 900 degrees. So yeah, you're burning a lot more, and you're not really, I mean, question, are you getting all the benefits of cannabis if you're burning it per se? So, I mean, let's be real. It's, you know, smoking it could have some long-term effects. I don't know what those are. Those things are still being studied. So the question is, you know, what are some of the side effects of smoking, consuming, or what are some of the further risks that are still being researched that we still need to talk about? That's one. What about psychosis and schizophrenia? I know when I talked to my mom's mental health doctor and about weeding her out of some of her medication, which, you know, she's on a very high dose of medication, and some of it's not really working. And they really feel like that there's not enough studies. I get that. But it may trigger those who have schizophrenia, bipolar. I may trigger them to deeper episodes of that. That still needs to be studied, which, again, with, you know, for those people who are treating those scenarios, if you're out there actually doing it, if you're juicing cannabis, if you are having CBD, if you're smoking cannabis, you know, sharing that on Tiggity, what's the Tiggity.com, so that we together can be like, you know what, this person is looking to get off of using certain medications and onto cannabis. This person has schizophrenia and wants to use cannabis. There's 13,000 people that have done this. There's 10,000, there's 1,000, there's 50 people, whatever it is, they have done this, and this was their routine. This is how they did it. So that's the goal of What's the Tiggity. And that's, yes, it does need more research. And again, we're going to keep talking about this another 10, 15 years from now. Let's just start doing the damn research ourselves and start sharing it, because you're already smoking. Let's just start sharing what the hell we're doing. All right. Short-term heart rate increases from weed can raise risk of heart attacks. That's still being studied. I mean, that's like saying, you know, you can get a higher heart rate from having sex. You know, does sex cause heart attacks? I mean, there was a movie about that. But man, what movie was that? The guy, it was like, I think it was on Netflix. The girl was like chained. She was handcuffed. And her husband, they were trying to get back together, bring some spice together. And they were having sex. And then, like, he died. And she was still chained up. I'm not trying to make fun of the situation. But, it was a movie anyway. Hopefully it's not real life. But yeah, she was still chained up, and like, but she really, like, they were like in like this cabin area where no one's around. So he's just sitting there, you know, he's not living, Netflix. And then she's chained up, and then she's trying to get out. But again, she's handcuffed. She can't get out. Now I actually know what was the end of the story. But yeah, she was like starving and stuff like that. But why even get to this? Rate increases with weed. Yeah, heart attacks. Yeah, we don't know. Harms, short-term, long-term memory. That is a good, you know. Does weed affect your memory? What do you think? Does weed affect your memory? Is it because it's, you know, in our heads, oh, weed affects your memory, so you forgot something. It was like, ha, 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 because I was smoking? Or is it just the, I mean, I know a lot of people who don't consume forget a lot of shit. There's a lot of stuff, like a lot of things. And then people who do consume have great memories. I mean, there's a lot of working professionals. There's a lot of people with high IQs remembering things, taking tests, ACTs, I mean, studying, doing these things with chemists, have a good memory. But does it really affect the long and short-term memory that's still being studied? But as an anecdotal, I mean, have you forgotten a lot of stuff? Let me know. All right. Wrapping up here. So your weed questions. So now that we, you know, we talked about, is weed good for you? Overall, we talked about, yes, we do believe it's good for you, despite the last 100 years or so of anti-rhetoric about how weed can cause harm, which was based on lies, corporate greed, people's selfish agendas, selfish ambition. It was never really about the plant. It was more about their agenda. It was more about controlling a certain group of people or whatnot, controlling a certain economy or whatnot. And I mean, you go back to the Great Depression in the 1930s, and even in the early 1900s when we had there was the Mexican Revolution. And then that led to a lot of Mexicans and Hispanic people moving to the U.S. Then you had the Great Depression. And then there was some animosity between those who were Hispanic and Mexicans and them having more jobs in the Great Depression. And then 1937, boom, we have the Marijuana Tax Act, because they associated the what we call recreational use, the adult use of cannabis, with those who were Hispanic. So then now there was this campaign, again, not about the plant, but more targeting them. And then it got targeted towards Black people, Black musicians, trying to control them. And then it was those who spoke out against the war, those quote-unquote called hippies. It was now there to control them. So yeah, all this was more about, it's never about, again, it wasn't like it was weed bad for you. Again, you have, we talked about earlier, talk about that report that was over 3,000 pages long, about in the early 1800s, the Indian Hemp Commission talked about, they understood that weed was good for you. So the fact that we're still talking about this, I think we still got to keep talking about it. I can't say that I'm excited or I'm glad I have to keep talking about this, but I think we do have to keep talking about this to continue to restore cannabis back as therapy, as it was always used for and what it should be used for today as therapy, whether it's medicinal or adult use. At the end of the day, it's all therapeutic. And that's why it's called the Cannabis Therapy Podcast, and we have the Cannabis Therapy Network. Cool. With that said, got any questions, let me know. I believe we are good. Check out our new hub. A lot of these videos, if you're not on Facebook or if you're on YouTube, we have what is called a Cannabis Therapy Hub. We're going to put that link in there as well. Cannabis, or actually, it's already there. Top. It says your personal craft hub is ready for you. So that hub allows you to take all of our video content and all of our show notes as well. So all these slides are in that hub. Cannabis Therapy Network Hub. Look at the comments. You can go there. It's brand new. It's free. All of our content, all of our videos, you can search through them. So if you want to search the word clone, or if you want to search the word cancer, and go and see all the times that we mentioned cancer or a topic, or we had a special guest to talk about cancer, it take you right to each episode. So you don't have to listen to the whole episode. It take you right to each episode to where you can actually hear what they're saying about cancer. So you, if it's a 5-minute clip, 10-minute clip, and that's what you want to hear about, boom, you can hear that. Or clones. We had something that talked about cloning. We talked about growing. You type in the word clone in that hub. It takes you right to every single episode we talked about clones, whether it's how to cut clones, how to manage clones, where to get clones, ways to raise and treat and pamper clones. There's a word for that. But yeah, you can do that now in our hub. It's completely all our videos, all our content is searchable. You can't do that on YouTube. You couldn't do that on Facebook. We have a lot of content, and it's starting to kind of add up, and to get people to consume it easier and to get their questions answered, we made all of our content searchable, and that's now in our hub, totally free. And also all of our show notes. So every single show that you have seen us do, every show that there is, the slide decks, I give them this completely free. for your own information. If you want to do your own presentation, talk about it. It's completely free information. You need to maybe go back and kind of, we all learn differently. Maybe you want to go back, maybe with something I said, you kind of need to see that visual. All this is free in the hub. Each video, there's an attachment section where you can get the show notes. You also can get the MP3 files as well, and also the transcripts. So if you just want to read it, or you just want to hear the audio, or search through the video, or just listen to me on 2x speed, so you can hear our show within 30 minutes, all that is within the Craft Hub. So check out that link, your personal Craft Hub. And we're also going to have exclusive videos just in there, because there's some videos they will not allow us to have on certain platforms, such as YouTube or Facebook. We now will actually have inside of our hub. So it's our own platform for all of our content. So some of our content, most of it will still be on YouTube and things like that, but some extra content will be just within our hub. So check it out. It's pretty cool. Let me know your feedback, how much you like it. It'd be great. Cool. I think that's it. This is the show. Is we good for you? Let me know if you like it. Give me a thumbs up. Check out YouTube. Subscribe. I believe I have where is it at? Bam. The subscribe button. Try to go right there. Let me remove this. No. Okay. On my screen, it was a subscribe thing. We'll fix that. All right. Subscribe to us. Let me know if this was good information. I appreciate it. Thank you for the thumbs up. I appreciate that. Any questions, any future topics you guys want us to touch on? Again, this is for you. This is for us to come together and talk about cannabis as therapy. To restore cannabis as therapy, I am here for you. All right, y'all. I appreciate it. Much love. Until next time, peace. Thanks for listening to the Cannabis Therapy Podcast. For more cannabis therapy blogs and resources, check our website, cannabistherapynetwork.org, cannabistherapynetwork.org.